The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. I am not Russell. He is in transit. This is Bear. Got Trey along with me. Russell will be in shortly. We're going to go ahead and get the party started.
Yeah, we're rolling on. What's up, Bear? How are you, buddy?
I'm not doing too bad. It's hotter than the surface of the sun outside.
It is, and that's the thing. I'm glad you did the intro, because with me, sometimes I was trying to figure it out, get it downloaded in my brain, how Russ does it, and you know what? It just didn't
I try not to do it like I need to. I forgot. I'm not going to do it like he. I mean, he does his thing, and you know, I mean, it's very Russ-like.
I don't want to throw off the karma of it. So no, it plays along. Lots of stuff going on today, Bear. Nick Bromberg's going to join us here at right around 3:15, 3:20. Talk college football. Moved him up a little bit. Talk college football. SEC Media Days. The participants were announced today. We'll go over those lists from Tennessee. Jared Garantano, Daniel Batuli, and Daryl Taylor. JG.
Yeah, I get that one.
Daniel Batuli, smart. He didn't get to go last year.
Get that one.
And Daryl Taylor.
Very colorful personality.
Yes.
Kind of surprised that he got named.
I'm sure. Well, coming off last year, I think you matured a lot. Had to, in a way, as well. Yeah. And here's the thing. I was having a conversation with somebody. He is really... You can tell the way that they've thrown some of these players to the media and let them talk. You kind of figured out which ones the representatives would be. I find it interesting. You kind of look at these things in a way. Tennessee going with two defensive players and then their quarterback.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was looking at Callaway, but then I remember Callaway went last year for Tennessee, so they didn't want to double dip, give somebody else the opportunity. So JG takes care of the offense. Then you got Batuli. And Daryl Taylor, I think two studs that'll take care of the defense. So it's going to be a long day for them, boys.
Yeah.
They'll get there at I was looking over the schedule today. Tennessee will roll from 1:30 to 5:30 next Tuesday. Nonstop interviews.
Like a week from yesterday?
A week from yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. So you're going, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go down Monday.
So how's that going to work? There were some questions about... If you're just calling us, if you're calling all the shows.
Well, I work for The Drive. And I work for Fox Sports Knoxville as well, but I work for The Drive.
Okay.
Let's be honest. Every time I've tried to call in with information for other shows, they really didn't want it at times. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they kind of discourage callers.
Right, so. Exactly. So yeah. It's all good. No, I'm going to take care of us, Fox Sports Knoxville. I look forward to it being down there and representing the station. It'll be a lot of craziness, but I look forward to it. I saw a number today. They had over 1,300 media members, I think, credentialed so far.
Have they cut back? Have they gotten stricter about it?
It's. I think they try to cut back a little bit this year because it's back in Hoover. Last year, it was in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame, so I think they had a lot more space.
You think it was better in Atlanta or better in Hoover?
I think it was something where... I think the change of venue was cool. I think Atlanta did a really good job. But also, I think they only had a one-year contract with the College Football Hall of Fame for that event. That's why they're going to Birmingham this year. And then they'll announce next Wednesday when he gives a State of the Union type deal, Greg Sankey.
State of the Conference.
Sounds like they're going to Texas.
Why?
In 2020, potentially.
That's dumb as hell.
Talk to a couple people.
They not just put that thing in Nashville every year?
I know. It's either going to be in Texas or it's going to be in Florida. So I'm thinking either Orlando or probably Dallas.
Orlando? Isn't Orlando like in the middle of the state?
Yeah.
So they're going to have everybody drive all the way hell down to Orlando.
Yeah. It's like how they did the women's basketball tournament a couple years ago. And they held it
in Orlando.
Tampa? Yeah.
In the middle of Florida.
That's just kind of my guess. I mean, honestly, it'd be great if they announced that it's Nashville. Honestly, I think the SEC offices should be located in Nashville. I think that's the smartest thing to do.
Isn't that the one? I mean, I don't count Vanderbilt because, well, they're Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But other than that, Nashville was pretty much pretty centrally located.
Nashville's hub. And you can get in anywhere from anywhere into Nashville. Birmingham, it's a little harder. If you're trying to fly into Birmingham from some of these places, it's really expensive. You might as well fly into Atlanta
like
and drive
flying
over.
Into here.
Yeah, exactly. So I always thought it would be Nashville. Always, I keep thinking that Nashville should at times get the baseball tournament. Then I look at how Hoover did this year. But I think offices though, I don't think the SEC basketball tournament should be taken out of anywhere. I think it did. Remember, you know, they played it all those years at the Georgia Dome.
And it was I hate basketball games in football stadiums.
But I'm talking about like Atlanta. Atlanta's a good spot for something like that.
Yeah, if they did it like, what is it, Verizon?
Right. Well, I think that's how they, I don't know. Phillips Arena.
Phillips Arena. I always want to call it Verizon. Verizon's in D.C., right?
Yeah. All Verizon's right. D.C. So if they do it, you know, they've got it set up pretty well, the SEC does, for basketball to hold it at Bridgestone, which is smart. The SEC women's tournament, you know, they hold it in, you know, sometimes they hold it in South Carolina, Arkansas, Tampa.
That's weird.
So it's all over. But the SEC is getting better. I think everybody will be a bit surprised when they announce 2020. So that will be next week. Florida sending a quarterback for the first time since 2014. They're going to send Felipe.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. I know. They're going to send little Michael P. Ryan as well. You got Jake Fromm coming from Georgia.
Wait a minute, P. Ryan. Is he related to the P. Ryan from Oklahoma?
Yes, that's his brother, and they're both from Theodore, down where I'm from. Yeah, they're both from Theodore. I went to Theodore High School.
Really?
Down there in Mobile, Alabama. Right there, yeah, right on the outside.
Alabama didn't want either one of those guys?
They went after him, but the bag's heavier in Florida.
I thought, now, the older P. Ryan played at Oklahoma.
Yeah. That's why the younger brother. Yeah, the younger brother,
is LaMichael. Is it Florida?
Yeah, LaMichael. He's at Florida. The other one went to Oklahoma, which was smart. Georgia's going to send Jake Fromm. Not surprising, they're going to send J.R. Reed and Andrew Thomas. Kentucky, they're sending Lynn Bowden and Cash Daniel and Logan Stenberg. You know any of those guys?
I think Cash Daniel's the guy that runs his mouth, even though
the linebacker.
Yeah, even though they got brought, they came in here last year and we just, you know.
I know. I like what LSU's doing. LSU is sending their quarterback Joe Burrow. It's been a lot of back and forth about Burrow, but they're sending him to media days. So
he's still there.
There's your starter. Yep, this is his last year.
Joe Burrow.
Yep. Huh. Bama. Oh, Bama's going to be sending. Well, let me see if you can guess who Bama's sending.
I mean, it'd be Tua.
Tua. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, and Dylan Moses.
Hey, Parker. Go sit in that chair and grab that microphone. Yeah, I'll turn it on for you.
Very cool move from Ole Miss Bear. They're sending a freshman, Matt Corral, quarterback.
Really?
Red shirt, but yeah. Yeah.
He's a red shirt. He's already been indoctrinated.
Very cool move.
I liked it when they asked like Nigel Warrior questions last year.
And yeah,
you could tell he had been.
I'll tell you this.
Obvious he had been coached up on what he could say and what he
couldn't.
The
most interesting take out of all of them, I think, is Kelly Bryant from Missouri is going. This is a transfer. This is a grad transfer going to go represent the university.
Yeah, but it's Missouri. They do crazy stuff up there all the time.
Yeah, but and also I look at it as in it's Kelly Bryant. Everybody's going to know who Kelly Bryant is. So you have to send him. That part was interesting, though. South Carolina, they're going to send Jake Bentley, TJ Brunson, and Brian Edwards. A&M, Kellen Mond should be normal. Braden Mann, they're sending a punter. Texas A&M is. And Justin Madukibi, the defensive lineman. So, there's your list. Any surprises on Tennessee's front, Parker Pitt? Yeah, your mic's on now.
Batuli is probably the biggest surprise out of those three.
Really?
Yeah.
To me, it's Taylor.
No. He's been a leader, apparently.
Apparently?
Yeah. So...
My lasting...
He's got a mouth
on him. The first thing I think of when you say Darrell Taylor... is WGW.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
TFA.
That was at the Bristol game. Yeah. I mean, that's been 3 years ago. Kid's grown up.
Yeah. These coaches nowadays, they carefully handpick who they're taking. So, I mean, I guess it does say that he's obviously, you know, grown up and matured since then.
No, so that's smart. Bill Myatt reached out on Twitter and said, Dallas, why in the world would they hold SEC Media Days there? Honestly, I think it comes down to Dallas, Houston, Orlando. That's just my predictions. So we'll see.
Dallas, Houston, or where?
Orlando. That's just the SEC likes to take their brand to different spots, and I get that. So why not go take over a city in Texas? So I kind of understand it in a way. If you're going to a one-off,
it's just. I mean, it's just they're bleeding the fans dry, expecting anybody to. You know, I mean, I know the Alabama people will. I mean, they'll save up all year and they'll probably go down there for that.
Well, they have such a big alumni base in Texas. Like, that's why they'll go, just to get the autographs.
So, but no, I hate it. It makes no sense. It's part of the big, you know, but I'm old-fashioned.
You know what, though? That's why Atlanta did it so well last year, in a sense of they got the fans involved. And the fan, look, the fans are invited to come to the Winfrey and Hoover, the hotel, but you're going to be sitting in the lobby. At the College Football Hall of Fame, you got to kind of enjoy it. They had fan zones set up. They had different things going on for SEC Media Days for the fans to come in and kind of enjoy SEC Media Days. At the Winfrey, it's back to business. So, you know, it means we're here. It means we're ready to go. College football is right around the corner. Phil Steele's out here releasing predictions on Tennessee. I'm sure we'll get into those. Urban Meyer podcast starting up today. I think it's the first day he'll be on it.
I will never listen to one episode.
You won't listen to Urban Meyer podcast to see what he says?
No. Urban Meyer's a very bad guy.
He's not the brightest guy in the world.
You can see, that's where I would disagree. I think he's
no, I meant public relations wise.
Well, I mean, how are you going to publicly relate that you had two murders on your team and you had another player who assaulted a coach?
Yeah. Yep.
That was Percy Harvin.
Yep. Which was kind of not, it was well knowledge when that was going down. Nobody was going to report on that, though, a player choking a coach.
I mean,
he overstepped. So, I mean, we'll see. That comes out. That'll be an interesting part of it. We're going to play, Bears' favorite game today. I'm glad we found out a winner as well from yesterday.
Go ahead and make sure we announce that. Douglas was the winner, A to Z. You are more than welcome to call back in and try and play your way into Champions League. But after listening to the tape carefully numerous times, it was determined that Douglas was the winner.
They went to the control room. Y'all did. Y'all figured it out. Went to the replay booth. How long did it take? A couple minutes? Was the crowd pissed off?
No, I mean, the first time the Council of Elders heard it, they immediately, it was really obvious.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, that'll play out. Look forward to Russell will be joining us here in just a second to kick off with the Nick Bromberg interview. Was kind of flip-flopping some times around, so we'll do that. We'll discuss Phil Steele and his predictions on the Tennessee season in win-loss, especially looking at the lines. The lines that they are out right now are pretty nutty, to be honest with you. So I'm glad I took the Tennessee. I should have took the damn points with Tennessee and Florida with my bet with Bear, but I screwed up and went just straight up. So that's on me, and I understand it.
I'll go ahead and tell, I don't do the line thing.
Right, because you don't understand points.
Yeah.
So I'd have been screwed anyway. So, no, we'll continue to play it on. Let's go ahead and pop a break. We'll come back on the other side. Russell will be joining us. Nick Bromberg will be joining us. We're going to kick things off talking some college football, and I'm probably going to try to sneak in a question or two about the craziness that was at Daytona this past weekend with a first-time winner. We'll do that back on the other side. It's Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of returners. I mean,
the entire offense is basically returning. That being said, you know, we talked about earlier about Kelly Bryant coming in the conference. I have a hard time ranking him in the top five, top six of SEC quarterbacks right now at the start of the season. That could change. Tennessee could surprise, win 7-8 games, and because Guarantano carries that offense. But at the same time, I don't necessarily know if the offense is going to be designed around his skill set. I could see him looking like Jake Fromm did when Jake Fromm was a freshman, and you have the run absolutely carry the ball. He becomes an efficient passer, completing 65-66% of his passes because Tennessee throws the ball at the right opportunity. So could he be the guy that throws for 25 touchdowns, completes 2/3 of his passes, looks great? Absolutely. Do I see him going to the NFL draft after the 2019 season? I would potentially be on the floor passing out unless he absolutely has the top 1% outcome in terms of his 2019 season.
Nick, who's a dark horse to beat out Alabama? Is it LSU and Joe Burrow? Is it Kellen Mond in A&M? I mean, where does this come from? Because I look at Alabama's schedule, and you know what? Potentially they play in certain games like they did last year. I could see a loss, but is it down to Jimbo and Ed?
Yeah, I don't even know if I can. I can't say confidently that I would believe in LSU or Texas A&M at this point either.
Yeah,
you know, we've reached that point with Alabama, and also simply because of what Alabama is bringing back on that offense. I realize, you know, they're not bringing out, they lost a lot on the offensive line, but bringing back those skill position guys. You know, you still have Najee Harris in the backfield. He'll probably run for 1,200 yards. He ends up being the bell cow guy this year. You know, this is going to be an absolutely unstoppable Alabama offense. The best defense, I think, in the SEC West last year outside of Alabama was Mississippi State. And basically that entire defense is now off the NFL. So is it going to – LSU returns a lot. Grant Delpit's back. You know, they got to do some replacing out there with Greedy Williams. But, you know, you look at this and say, I think LSU and Texas A&M, they could keep it close for a half maybe here in each game. But Alabama, I still think it's going to be the class of the SEC and the SEC West, and it's going to take a lot of injuries or a lot of something for somebody else to sneak up there and win that division.
Nick Bromberg with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Nick, any other college football thoughts as we get set to fire up talking season with SEC Media Days kicking off next week in Birmingham, and I'm assuming ACC, Big Ten, Big 12 following either next week at the same time or shortly thereafter?
We did have some news today where I think everybody kind of realized that Brandon Wimbush, when he transferred from Notre Dame to Central Florida, was going to end up being the guy in 2019 because Mackenzie Milton, as we all remember, suffered that just nasty, nasty knee injury at the end of last season. He's hoping to return in 2020, so UCF needed a quarterback this year. It was going to be Brandon Wimbush and Daryl Mack, the guy who replaced Milton at the end of the year, had a fantastic game against Memphis in the AAC title game, but ended up going like 11 for 30 for 97 yards against LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. Mack, UCF announced today, broke his ankle in what they're terming a non-football-related incident. So I don't know the circumstances of it. Anyway, he's out for fall camp. That completely paves the way for Wimbush to be the starter for UCF. And again, you know, now the win streak is back at zero. I don't think UCF is going to necessarily go undefeated this year, but if Wimbush is a little bit better as a passer as it was in Notre Dame last year, I think UCF is going to be the class of everybody outside the Power Five at Notre Dame again this year.
Nick, I want you to really dumb this down. I get one question maybe per week now, according to Russell. So really dumb down, what in God's name happened to Daytona this weekend?
Okay, so NASCAR said they're under caution after a giant crash that took out basically every single lead car because it happened at the front of the field. Lightning storms are around. No rain was really approaching Daytona, but there were storms around. NASCAR has an 8-mile lightning radius, where if lightning strikes, then that 8-mile radius is like being at the pool. You can't get in the water for 30 minutes. You can't put cars on track for 30 minutes. NASCAR did not red flag the race. They ran 7 laps caution, said, we've got one lap to go. We're going green next time by. Kurt Busch leading the race after the crash. They were like, well, there's 34 laps to go. We're going to go ahead and pit right now, give up the lead, because NASCAR is saying the race is going back green. Between the time NASCAR said there was one lap to go and the time that Kurt Busch got out of the pits and rejoined the field, not even halfway back, not even halfway on that next lap, a lightning bolt struck from a storm passing to the north and northeast within that 8-mile radius that ended up stopping the race for good after another lightning delay and then actually some rain about an hour later. Justin Haley, driving for a team with an average finish of 33 entering Sunday's race, they stayed out. They're not racing for points. They basically said that on the radio. They ended up winning the race in a lot of people want to call it a upset in NASCAR. I think the bright term is an absolute fluke. An upset, I think, requires some sort of overachievement on the underdog's part. There really was no overachievement. They were running in the back all day, stayed out, got literally caught lightning, about the closest thing you can do to catch lightning in a bottle in NASCAR they actually got. They end up winning the race because NASCAR didn't wait that long to go green, even though I think, in a lot of people's eyes, had NASCAR waited a couple more hours, maybe the race could have been completed late Sunday night.
Nick, thanks for your time as always. Appreciate it. And at Nick Bronberg on Twitter, yahoosports.com.
And hopefully we've got a lot of stuff to talk about from talking season next week.
Absolutely.
I can't wait, buddy. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother.
Nick Bronberg making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. The Garantano stuff I find pretty interesting. Let's put the poll in the field.
Uh-oh, here we go.
What are your expectations for Jarrett Garantano coming up this season? We've all heard the talk. I think we've all had this the same reaction, and I don't want to be mean about it, but when I hear people talking about Jarrett Garantano going pro after this season, my reaction is, huh? Like, are we talking about the same guy? Now, what are your expectations going in? And we'll give you four choices here because this fits nicely in a Twitter poll. Are your expectations, A, very high?
Dang. Okay,
which
wow.
That's great season, 9-3, going to the NFL.
10 interceptions.
Are they B, high? I expect him, he's a fourth-year player, is like second and a half year kind of as a starter. I expect him to play well. Are they C, average? He's about an average quarterback. You know, maybe he'll play a little bit better with better line protection, but I'm not expecting anything significant. Or are they D, low? I just don't think he's a very good player.
Man, I could.
I'm going C. I think he's Crompton 2.0. It's average, solid SEC quarterback.
But, yeah, I mean, wouldn't we say that Crompton turned out to be pretty good when all was said and done? Wouldn't we say that whatever his struggles were as a junior were probably more due to the claw fence and flipping the lines?
Was it Chaney and Kiffin that had him his senior year?
Yes, 2009.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ah, hell, I'll go B. Very high.
No, that B is just high. A is very high.
I'll go B. High.
You have high expectations for Jarrett Garantano coming into the season.
I've got high expectations for Jim Chaney.
Yeah, but Jim Chaney's not the football.
He's the first quarterback coach's kids had.
So, open-ended question, what are your expectations for Garantano coming into this season?
I expect him to lead us to it. To me,
you expect him to be an average SEC, solid SEC quarterback.
He needs to be an 8-4 quarterback in the SEC, and I'll be content with that this year.
He needs to lower his hospital visits this season.
He's got. I mean, if anything, if he's learned anything, it's to hopefully two things: identify where the blitz is coming from because they're coming every time with him, and B, that he's learned how to get rid of the football really quick. In case that line just still, which is keeps me up at night and makes my stomach hurt thinking about, you know, are we ever going to have a good offensive line again?
I don't know, but he had an open room. They just kept open at UT Medical Center. So they better fix it quick.
It'd be interesting if he gets protected a little bit better this year by the refs. He didn't get a whole lot of favors last year. I think part of that is because he holds onto the ball and he takes a lot of shots and it's kind of normal. But I mean, that shot, was it the Missouri game or South Carolina game here?
The Missouri game is the one where he got clotheslined.
The reverse clothesline.
Came back and probably played when he shouldn't have been out there on the field for a series.
Yeah, he had no idea he was at Neyland Stadium. The only one I've seen worse than that was Heath Shuler against Alabama. Remember the 92 defense?
Oh, yeah. I was at that game. I
was, too.
Where he got up and tried to go to the wrong sideline.
Yeah, he was like – and then he stopped. He was looking around at the in the stands. And it was like he has – like you knew, sit in your seat. Shuler had no idea.
Didn't he come back into the game, though? Like,
yeah,
I think
like
he finished
two plays
it.
Later. I mean, they probably taped an aspirin to his helmet and told him he was good to go. It was a tougher breed back then, buddy. But, yeah, he had
– Were they tougher or did they just not know what the hell they were dealing
know.
With?
They didn't know, and I don't know.
They didn't know what seeing stars
They didn't
were.
Know any better.
Yeah.
No, the coaching and medical staff didn't know any better, and that's one spot where, I mean, I'd forgotten just how physically imposing he – I mean, he was a big guy when he played here.
Heath?
Yeah. Huge. Big old dude. He could take some shots.
Great player, man.
But, yeah, he got blistered on that one.
You see where his son committed to – where did Navy Shuler commit to?
Appalachian State.
Appy State, yeah.
Probably
going
to
be a Mountaineer. That's cool.
I think that's pretty neat.
I'd probably – I don't know. I think if I could go back and change things, I might have gone to Appalachian State.
Boone, North Carolina.
Exactly. That's
something I didn't expect to hear on the show today. 865-546-8200. Is your number to get on the program. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question. What are your expectations for Jarrett Garantano this year? Let's break it down. 546-8200. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Your phone calls on the way. It's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Now make sure.
Q's Smoking Hot question of the day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
How would you describe your expectations for Jarrett Garantano this season? And that's open-ended. You can call in and respond to that however you see fit this afternoon at 865-546-8200, your number to get on the drive. We're going for the purposes of our super scientific Twitter poll. The poll is in the field. Very high, average, or low? Very high, average, or low? Bear, you and Trey are both going high. High expectations for Garantano? No?
Average.
I'm going high, less to do with Jarrett Garantano, more to do with Jim Chaney. Being an elite quarterback
whisperer. Well, yeah, I mean,
that
definitely figures into it.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying high.
What would your expectations be if Tyson Helton were back for year two?
D.
Poor. Low. You would just think he's not very good.
Yeah, no.
Look, I'm going average until I get out there on the playing field. And I watch these guys, you know, and see how the offensive line does. Even in that first game against Georgia State. Or even BYU. I'm waiting. It's hard to judge a quarterback just off what he did last year in the Auburn and Kentucky games.
40 votes cast so far at the at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll that just went live. Go on, log on, make your voice heard this afternoon. So far, 53% of the audience says they have high expectations for Garantano. 25% going average, 13% say very high expectations, and then 9% say their expectations are low. It's very easy, very early. 1% of precincts reporting. We'll keep our eye on this poll as it develops here throughout the afternoon. But let's talk about it this afternoon. I don't think any of us would disagree that if Tennessee is going to have this surprise season, this 8-4, 9-3 type season, which people are talking themselves into because it's almost the middle of July, and this is the cycle.
It
happens every year. It's natural. It's fun. I don't like. It might be illogical, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's not fun.
Was ESPN down on clicks though? Let's be real honest. I mean, real honest. It seems like every time.
It's a computer formula, Trey. It's an algorithm.
ESPN starts popping up Tennessee, one of the strongest fan bases in college football, starts putting them in some weird positions.
So you think they're I won't say trolling us, but
no, they ain't trolling. They're making money. They're making money.
Taking like advantage. You guys are,
what have we all? What have we? What has everybody done in Tennessee, in the state of Tennessee, in the last 3 days? Talked about ESPN, their FPI.
Good point.
Top 25.
It's a good point.
That's all everybody's talked about. Tennessee, well, 15, 15, 15, 15.
And
who's going to be an overproducer? Who's going to be an overachiever quarterback?
This analytical thing has become such a trend. Like, people are more, if you could say, listen, this isn't gut feeling. I'm not basing this on what NFL scouts are telling me. Sure. I'm not basing this on what coaches are telling me in the offseason. I'm basing this on numbers. Yeah. Cold, hard data. I'm taking out any emotional reaction to it, and I'm just looking at what the data tells me. None of us understand what the data is.
No.
That they're, like, we don't know what the numbers are they're using, but I think it's easier for any fan to get excited if they believe that the information that they're putting out is not people generated. It's not, this is just the facts, man. This is what the numbers say. We got these returning starters. The schedule lightens up, and we've got better coaches now.
Put Missouri behind Tennessee with Kelly Bryant as quarterback and a Missouri team that could probably win 9 games next year. Did nobody else see the last two games? And I'm not hating. I'm being realistic. Nobody see the last two games of last year and every other game besides the Auburn and South Carolina-Kentucky game?
Oh, by the way.
It was an ass whoop.
By the way, I meant to lead with this today, but I was late getting here. So we will address this in coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour.
Okay.
We already covered it.
Oh, yeah, we covered it.
What are you talking about?
We covered it. Don't worry.
What?
Barry will tell you.
Tell me!
Douglas.
Douglas? You've already rendered the ruling?
Well, no. I mean, the council of elders gave me the envelope when I came in. It was clear cut.
Okay. Well, I thought I had something to bring to the table there, but
we put the white
evidently not.
You said you're going to be late. I was taking care of TCB, buddy.
I did. Thank you. Thank you.
We were
I appreciate
trying to help.
That. Yeah.
Speaking of which, can we get our TCB tattoo soon? We were going to get them taking care of business. Lightning bolt.
Did I sleep through this conversation?
Tats?
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for tats when I came aboard the show.
If I weren't present for the ain't nobody inking me up. That's positive identification. Never do anything to help the authorities when they might be chasing you some date. You never know what's going to happen, Bear. You never know where we're going to end up. Let's go to the phones. T-Carp is up next. Good afternoon, T-Carp. You're on the drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville.
Only if I go to jail.
Never, ever, ever make it easy to identify yourself. 100% agree.
You might
Russell.
As well just
I'm
go
very
ahead.
Proud of you.
Just go ahead and get the chip implanted in your brain so they know where
exactly.
you are 24/7.
Exactly. Guys, on the Garantano thing, I am where Trey is. I 100% agree with Trey on this topic. I'm an average to almost below average, even with Jim Chaney. I have seen what I have seen, and you can tell me all the analytics in the world as he is the best quarterback, but, you know, any quarterback can, you can have a 100% completion rating with 5 sacks and 1 complete pass, okay? It's just
you're a known Garantano basher.
No, I want him
who's
to
Who's not this
team? I called the voluntary reaction and said I was wrong when he beat Auburn. And I admittedly said he was wrong. Or I was wrong, excuse me. And, you know, then you have those last two games, and it's like, well, maybe it was a fluke. Which I'm kind of leaning toward, he threw up a few prayers. So, you know, me and Trey have talked about this. He can't hit someone over the middle. Like, he cannot, like, if it's his second or third read, he can't hit a wide-open tight end over the middle. He just can't do it.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being a sheep here, but I feel the exact opposite. I feel like the end of the series, the end of the season, bad performances. I don't want to say they're a fluke. I just want to say they're a result of the fact that, well, first of all, he's playing on 2 sprained knees. And second of all, the accumulation of just getting your brains beat in
literally
for an entire season, and the rest of the team
that's on the
basically
coaches.
Quitting.
That's on the coaches. Go play Keller Chris then. If the guy can't walk and he's got a reservation in a hospital room, go put your backup quarterback in and get him some play. I mean, they if that's the case, they risked him career-ending injuries last year by playing with these supposedly two sprained knees, broken ribs, hernia, appendix, and everything else they wanted to add up on the injury list.
I'm going to get you a Negavol t-shirt, Trey, because you're a part of us now.
No, God, no. I ain't a part of them. Just trying to tell the truth. I mean, it.
No, thank you. I agree with you. I was cheering for Chris, not saying he was the better quarterback, but, you know, like you said, if all of these things are true, why wasn't your backup playing more? So my thing is –
because our backup was horrible, guys. He came in the one
– He led us to two touchdowns against Alabama.
Well, Bear, I was
– Buddy, hold on just a second. He was horrible. Because we were in that game when Garantano got the Malachi crunch put on the back of his head, and then Keller Chris came in and threw a pick six.
Well, Bear, I'm saying because you don't want to risk the kid getting a further injury that potentially takes him out of this season.
But,
you know what I mean?
Welcome to major college football. They don't care.
But you're playing Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
If you can't beat sorry.
My prediction, or the best thing for Tennessee, is to Garantano go four games. Start these first four games, and then have one of your backups come in and play the rest of the season and develop under Channing. That is the best thing for Tennessee to happen. I don't think Garantano is the quarterback of the future. I think you got seven. You know, and I don't buy this. I'm on you with you, Trey. I think ESPN is just looking for clinics because 7-5 is our ceiling next year, unless we have just this emergence of greatness, which I just don't see. But 7-5 is the ceiling. The best thing is Garantano to be sat the fourth or fifth game of the year. Guys, y'all have a good one.
What was that last thing you said?
He wanted Garantano to be sacked the fourth or fifth game of the year.
Well, I mean, he's going to get sacked. I mean, like, are you saying that he wants to get knocked out of the game?
Yeah.
I mean, that's borderline. He said what? I'm sorry? Sat
by the fourth or fifth game.
I think if Tennessee's offensive line is good, not bad, not average, just good, Jared Garantano can be an SEC game manager quarterback and lead Tennessee to wins.
Yeah, that's all we want.
If they slip up on the right side, man, and he starts taking a hit or two, good Lord.
But here's why what T-Carp said is just – it's insane. The best thing to happen for Tennessee would be for Garantano to get sat. Think about what that means. That means you've lost to BYU. Mm-hmm. That means you've lost to Florida. Mm-hmm. You've lost, like,
I'm $100 richer.
Your season is in the toilet before you even get to the first off week.
And like Brian Bauer and Trout are not ready.
And then you're sending in, a freshman who's probably going to get beat out by another freshman the year after anyway. Like, how is that good? That, to me, that is worst case scenario. That's doomsday stuff right there to me.
If you're walking out, 18-year-old, is it Maurer? Yeah,
Brian Maurer.
Brian Maurer, you're going to trot him out there in Neyland Stadium?
In the meat of your season. So you're going to try
against Georgia, Alabama,
Mississippi State, Bama, South Carolina. Brian Maurer, maybe he's awesome. Maybe y'all saw something in that orange and white game I didn't see, but I didn't see the next Johnny Football or anything like that.
When's the last time we trotted freshmen out like that? I know Clawson, but since then, I guess Ainge and Schaefer.
Here's my question.
Dobbs.
Why can't Tennessee trot out? I mean, what's the difference now? Tennessee trotting out freshman quarterbacks. Everybody else in the country is doing it.
Because we don't have a
– what's been the problem?
We haven't had a quarterback coach in like 8 years.
There you go.
But we also haven't signed a super highly touted quarterback since Dobbs.
Yeah.
And even Dobbs was not a five-star. Can't miss. Maybe Garantano was. I don't know. Well, stay with us. It's The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Parker will have your top four at four coming up next.
The Drive.